It has begun. All right, so it is, quite frankly, and it's the Friday night edition. Now, we are seasoned veterans at this thing. You might say, oh, I've never seen this show before. Well, it's okay. Not many people have. But despite that, we're at it every night of the week. Every night of the week. And I'm grateful for that because Monday through Friday, really, it's almost like I get the therapy without having to pay the copay. Actually, no, the copay is always paid. Remember, there's nothing, you don't get anything for free. It always costs something. This costs a lot, trust me. And you want to know something, and welcome everybody to the show. It's the Friday night edition. It's the December 23rd edition. It's the Christmas Eve show. And I'm telling you, we are going to be getting some updates. In about 8 minutes, we'll have the first update from our resident filmmaker, one of our resident filmmakers, Mike May. Mike May is going to be calling in to tell us the updates on Carrie Fisher, who's in critical condition. Last time we heard anything about this, she had a heart attack on a plane. Here's the article, and we're listening to Wake and Bake Beats right now, Vishnu. Mid-air emergency. Star Wars actress Carrie Fisher hospitalized following massive heart attack on plane. The actress's daughter, Billy, has rushed to her bedside at the UCLA Medical Center. As has been claimed, Carrie is on a ventilator after suffering cardiac arrest. Her daughter, Billy, is at the star's bedside, along with Carrie's beloved French bulldog, Gary. Carrie, quote, stopped breathing for 10 minutes and is now reported to be on a ventilator at UCLA Medical Center. United Airlines flight touched down at noon and paramedics rushed on board. A spokesperson for the airline said medical personnel met United Flight 935 from London to Los Angeles upon arrival today after the crew reported the passenger was unresponsive. Our thoughts are with the customer. See, now I want to know what happened on the plane. Like, at what point in the plane did they go unresponsive? And what kind of anybody out there that's watching right now, if you have any kind of idea about the medical capabilities in midair that the plane has as far as equipment, as far as training of the stewardesses and all the workers on the plane, I mean, there's got to be something there in an emergency. Got to be a defibrillator, something like that. But if you have any information on that, please call in. I want to know. I want to get the inside scoop. Obviously, this is very concerning. Just because you don't want to hear this happen to anybody, but obviously it's life. And Carrie Fisher did lead a pretty, you know, wild life at times, reckless at times, as she would even say herself. So, I mean, she has been through a lot physically. And it was good to see her being productive again and getting into, you know, she was on stage. She had her one-woman show. She's made a lot of television appearances lately. And now with this resurgence and this rebirth of the Star Wars storyline, there she was, episode 7. And now, aside from a human interest story, you want to see, obviously, somebody pull through. There's also the fan side of this. How much of episode 8 has been filmed? I don't know. I know they started filming months ago. Is all of Carrie Fisher's parts done? What does this do to the future, or what was the planned future of the character Princess Leia? You know, these are questions they're going to be at, because listen, we all pulling for her to come through, but What can you then expect of a person recovering from a massive heart attack to be able to do in any short amount of time on a movie set? So there's all these things now. In either case, we'll have Mike May call in 5 minutes. I should have got myself a bottle of water. I'm going to crash and burn soon. Do we have anything here, Mike? I think we might still have some of that water from that the Christmas party we had. If you could do that, I'll buy you a pretzel later. I'll thank you with a pretzel. See, that's the other thing. We were going to go see Rogue One again tonight. This is the third and final time. And this, for everybody at home that's worrying, this is going to be a Star Wars talk tonight. It really isn't going to be, but this is just sadly ironic that this happens with Carrie Fisher. So we're going to be following that headlines for the news story that it is. And other than that, there's some other fun, lighter stuff to talk about. Like this Indiana mom arrested for beating her sons who opened up their Christmas gifts early, beat him with a belt. And I'm thinking to myself, how bad was this beating? Because we used to get the belt all the time. Lauren, did you ever get the belt? You never got the belt, but was the belt used in the house? Hold on. You see that microphone next to you? It should be to your left. It might not work. It's a bad mic. But
can you hear me?
Yes.
The belt was definitely used as a threatening tool, I think. But there was an acrylic spoon that was used because the wooden spoons all got broken. I never got hit. But I saw it enough that I never wanted to be hit. So.
Oh, well, I was definitely hit.
Yeah.
My brother, Anthony and I were both. We were both done it pretty well. Well, because we were terrible. We were horrors. Listen, I know what we were.
Yeah, you guys were.
We were horrors. We were absolute horrors. So I know that. But thankfully, that was like four lifetimes ago. I've tried to shed every layer of horror about me every couple of years or so. I'm just trying to get all the layers, put the horrible layers on. Yeah, can you imagine? You imagine that. If I was still anything like that, I'd be insufferable. You wouldn't be engaged to me, that's for damn sure. That wouldn't have worked out. You wouldn't have liked me. But, what was I just talking about? Oh, Mike, thanks for this, man. Oh, the belt. Because this mother. We had the spoon, too. Call in right now, Skype, Quite Frankly Podcast. Tell me what you used to get hit with. My mother has thrown. What's that? Shoes? Oh, yeah. My mother would throw shoes. She would throw, I can't tell you how many times she has smashed a television remote control against the wall trying to hit me with it. I mean, it was funny because it was always like divine intervention. Never did she ever. So she was either missing on purpose, because my mother had a great arm. She was a shortstop. She taught me how to play baseball. So she knew where she was throwing things, at least at a time. I don't know how her control is these days. But at a time, she had some pretty good control. And she never hit us with any of the remote controls. But they were thrown many, at least a half a dozen. Just they would crack open in half. At first, she tried to salvage all of the remote controls. She tried to press them back together and use tape. And then after that, she would just, part of the getting angry was then taking the pieces and throwing it all out, not even wanting to try. It's fun. It's fun stuff. But Anthony and I, on Christmas, I'd love to hear some of your Christmas horror stories. And since Anthony and I were horror stories at one point, not in any kind of like, you know, the good son Macaulay Culkin type of way, we weren't killing animals and, you know, stuff like that, but we were just constantly strangling each other. It's a weird thing about Anthony and I, we never ever punched each other in the face. We never really got into a real big fist fight. We would go right for each other's throats and we'd roll around strangling each other. And the best part is knowing how sensitive we are about anybody being near our necks. Some of it was strangling. Some of it was pretty just like a tickling struggle, because we're trying to strangle as two people who don't like going near anybody else's necks or having people go near necks trying to strangle each other. It didn't work. As mad as we were tickling each other at the same time. It was terrible. Very, very confusing childhood. Joining us right now is Mike May, one of our resident filmmakers who usually comes on when anything film industry related starts to break. Mike May, right now we are talking about something very, very frightening, a life or death situation right now with Carrie Fisher. And the last reports we have is that she's still in intensive care. What do you know?
Well, first of all, I just want to make sure that you can hear me and see me okay.
No, you sound great. You look so cute.
Technology.
You look so cute.
Fantastic. I got my placement, you know, so we're talking about Star Wars. Here's the Darth Vader mug.
There you go.
I'm actually in better spirits because I do have an update, and it's a good one.
Okay.
So according to these reports I'm reading right now, updated at 7:02, so that was about 8 minutes ago, it appears that Carrie Fisher's brother, Todd, has confirmed that she is out of emergency and she is stable.
Okay.
Okay. So that's a good sign.
This is fantastic.
That's the latest update.
Okay. All right. So Mike May, thank God you called in.
We will not have to digitally recreate Carrie Fisher.
Did you think that? Now let me ask you this, because obviously
it's so horrible to say.
We're not out of the woods though. We're not out of the woods, and this is a great turn. Apparently, Anthony just joined us in the room. Carrie Fisher is in stable condition. That's the last report. Well, because she was on a ventilator, but according to this thing, she was not breathing for 10 minutes, and Mike May just said that the latest report he picked up right now is that she's in stable condition.
Yeah, this is coming from Us Weekly, so that's entertainment. Actually, the latest report's from TMZ, so take that with what you will, but usually when it comes to entertainment,
I gotta stop you right there, Mike. I feel really, really dirty right now that we're broadcasting live and we're saying names like Us Weekly and
I know,
TMZ.
But, you know, when it comes to entertainment news, I mean, they're faster on things than some people.
You don't know how many years it's been since we covered a TMZ article? Oh my God, it's been years.
So it seems that she's for right now okay.
That's good. All right. Let me ask you one last thing before we change the subject and get back to business. How much of episode 8 has been filmed? How much of her parts have been filmed? Do you know anything about that?
Well, that's the thing. I don't think that if she's started any filming yet. I haven't heard about it. I know that
they've been filming for
months. Mark Hamill shot a lot of his stuff. Daisy Ridley shot some stuff. Adam Driver. I just didn't hear anything about Carrie Fisher. So
okay. Well,
that's what I'm a little worried about.
That's going to be interesting because whether she makes a recovery or not, and it sounds like she's, well, according to this, it sounds like there's a good chance that she can make a recovery to some extent. Not breathing for 10 minutes is pretty. That's
it could be have permanent non-reversal effects.
I mean, that's pretty. Concerning.
There was rumored that she was going to have a more significant role in this film, and I don't think that's going to be the case after this.
All right, Mike. Thank you so
very
much.
Limited.
If anything else breaks, just call right back in. We definitely want to know what's going on with this story.
Will do.
All right, man. Take care. So that is Mr. Mike May, Harbor House Pictures. Nah, mean. All right, so you're watching the Quite Frankly podcast. This is the first time you're watching. This is a nightly podcast. Right now, it's just a Friday night's Facebook special. But soon, we're going to be live on Facebook 2 times a week, whereas all throughout the week, we're also going to be simulcasting Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on YouTube on the Quite Frankly channel. You might be asking, what the hell is this? What is this about? Well, you know, what is this podcast all about? Well, this is a... This is a news and uncensored social commentary podcast, and we tackle a lot of controversial topics from around the world as it pertains to the socio-political arena, history, just a lot of, I don't know, a lot of people watching. That's pretty much what it is, and I promise you, we come from a place of love, from a place of voluntarism and from a place of individualism. We celebrate the individual. We are opposed to all types of collective tyranny, and that's just it. So we fight against labels, we fight against identity politics and all that stuff, and because we try to live in a healthy plane of reality, a healthy plane of existence, there's a lot of things that we tackle on this show that are considered controversial and a little bit, I don't know, uncomfortable. But hey, we're all good for a talk, and we're going to have the Skype on for the rest of the evening. It is Quite Frankly podcast. So we're going to move on to something else. We talked about the Indiana mom who beat her kids, and I started thinking about our discipline. We did have the spoon too, by the way, Lauren. We had a We had a wooden spoon. My grandmother, my mother's mother, got a wooden spoon, and that one cracked up top so it looked like a crescent moon. And she still kept it around because it had its, you know, then it was scary. Then you really didn't want to get hit by it, because then it's going to be like getting hit by the crucifix. All right, so that's the end of that. Carrie Fisher, we're going to get the updates as they come in. You guys, of course, can call in at any time. God damn it. About anything. You know what came in? And then I'll tell you what we're going to cover tonight, because there's some interesting stuff. More on the robot sex. More on the robot sex. Listen to this. We're going to have a couple of things here. Robot babies meant to scare teens out of having kids aren't working. That's number one. And then sex and marriage with robots. Now, we've been talking about where the sex with robots is going to go. We've talked about the porn type of situations. We talked about the replica celebrities. We talked about the type of people who are going to use them. And the type of people who are going to use them more, the more that society gets tightly wound to where we don't want to look at anybody without being accused of rape or some kind of harassment. I mean, it's getting that bad. I wouldn't be surprised if every dorm room comes with a sex doll so that they can just have all these hormone-charged guys and girls, actually, to just, you know what, just go ahead. It's like artificial inseminating cows. It's like, you know, you ever see those? Where they have the dummy cows to have the male cows go and that's how they extract sperm from the men, so they can artificially inseminate the rest of the cows. It's ridiculous. It looks like one of those mechanical bulls that you see at a bar. And that's what it's gonna be like for us. We're just gonna be like, you know what? I gotta get this out of me. And it's just not worth going down to the pub to strike up a conversation. All right, so, but of course that all goes away if we become stronger people, so I'm not hopeless. Not hopeless. This is all cyclical. All cyclical. We just got to beat the weakness out of us, that's all. So, we talked about the robot stuff. We talked about how there's going to probably be robot laws, robot abuse laws, because you know people are, there's going to be people saying, okay, well, it's a robot. But then, if people start doing really, really sick shit with these sex robots that are getting more and more popular, and they're showing up at trade shows every year more and more. The technology's getting better. They're talking to you. They could be remote controlled. I mean, damn. They self-lubricate. All this shit. I mean, they're not very good with the pillow talk afterwards, but, I mean, everything else seems like it's starting to come in line. And they'll cuddle with you all night. You're just going to have to find a way to back yourself up into them, or you're going to be holding on to just a piece of plastic all night. So that may be it. That might be it for some people. We also said there's going to be laws protecting these robots, because you know some people are going to say it's robot abuse, or especially if the robot is female, people are going to say, I don't like what they're doing to that female. That's like, I don't like what they're doing to that female. You know, they rape the robot. There's going to be robot rape laws. I promise you, it sounds stupid right now. It's not going to sound stupid. The cell phone sounded stupid a couple decades ago. Okay? I'm telling you, this shit's going to happen. There's going to be robot sexual abuse laws, I promise you. Or at least like public against porn and all that, because they don't want to depict violence. You watch. You watch. Because that's why people buy strike dummies. They want to hit something that's in the shape of a human sometimes. You know, you can go hit a heavy bag, but sometimes you just want to get a little bit more of a realistic thing in there. You know, you ever go on Amazon and check out all the strike dummies they have there for like martial arts? They call it the Bob XL. Yeah. I think the torso dummy is called Bob or something like that. And that's just it. I mean, it helps you visualize things. There's some sick people out there that would really love to do some stuff to a naked robot. Okay? And are we getting sicker? Well, I don't know. We can talk about that some other time. But that's next. Here is something I want to point out, though. I'll leave this for when I do the Patreon thank yous in a couple minutes. This is all, and the other thing is, we're only going to be on the air for maybe about another 19 to 22 minutes. Only doing a 40-minute show tonight, 45-minute show, because we have to get to see, we're going to be seeing a 9 o'clock? a 9 o'clock showing somewhere. So we gotta get out to the theater in time, because we know that the traffic right now is getting worse and worse. It takes 25 minutes to get across our own thing. All right, so if you're watching right now, once again, this show is a 5 nights a week show. The Quite Frankly Podcast. Subscribe to us on YouTube, iTunes, SoundCloud, all that stuff. It's interactive stuff. I can't see the chat room right now, but I'll go check it out somewhere. And your calls are valued. So the first thing I want to do now is let's just go right to the robot sex, okay? Here is the sex and marriage thing, because marriage is the next thing up, which is revealing something to me that is a little bit scarier than the sex stuff, because the sex stuff you can write off as, okay, well, naturally, this is what we're going to gravitate towards. We're monkeys, okay? Constantly touching ourselves. But the marriage stuff, this is a little loopy. Starts getting a little bit loopy here, outside of the accepted realm of loopy. Sex with robots is just around the corner, an expert told the global conference in London this week, featuring interactive sex toys and discussions on the ethics of relationships with humanoids. Oh my God. Ethics. See? It's already starting to be debated. How far can we go with how we treat the robots? Sex bots are a staple of science fiction. The idea of robots as partners is explored, for instance, in recent films and television series like Ex Machina and Westworld. But some specialists believe that the first animated lovers made of metal, rubber, and plastic, programmed to provide sexual bliss, will take a step into reality just months from now. That's right around the corner. We know that. But let's get around to the crazy shit. Ultimately, this person named David Levy, an expert, an intelligent, artificial intelligence expert, ultimately, Levy said, people should entertain the thought of marriage with robots as early as 2050. Why would we entertain that thought? Why would we have to entertain that thought? Hold on, let me get the Skype up. I know some of you people have to have some good stuff to say. Get on Skype, Quite Frankly Podcast. I'm taking calls on the robot sex stuff and marriage. And what this tips off to you psychologically, please call in. Especially if you're a little elevated. If you're a little elevated, this is your show. And also a big shout out to the Capstone Broadcasting System across a tremendous network of pro cannabis and entertainment Facebook fan pages. Great people. I'm actually a part of some of those pages, and the comments are fantastic. The people are fantastic. It's always good times, and it's educational. Okay, educational, fun, all good stuff. Especially dem ganja women, love them. Okay, the conference in London showcase some of the latest developments in robotic toys, such as gadgets that allow couples to kiss no matter how far apart they are. Okay, there you go. There's a remote control stuff. So, Lauren, if I go away to LA with the band for VidCon or some other kind of a thing, we can get one of these robots to stay home, and we can put it in the coat closet, and then at night I can kiss you good night through the robot, and you would no. You would pick up the microphone for a second. Why wouldn't you want that?
It's just weird.
What if I started using tongue, and the robot tongue went into your mouth?
That would be even worse.
Yeah, that'd be bad. I'm sorry we're talking about this. All right, we're gonna move on. It allowed couples to send licking. Oh, wait a second. This is not right. Hold on. Let's get to this. The Kissinger. Okay, like the Henry Kissinger. The Kissinger, which attaches to your mobile phone, contains sensors to detect the pressure of a kiss and transmit it to your partner's device in real time. It has been under development for several years. Now, students at Tokyo's Keio University, actually, they have a Keio university behind Manhattanville College, or KO School or something like that? What does KO mean? Can somebody call in and tell me that? Just don't be shy. Put your voice on the podcast. Call up and troll me. I don't give a shit. I stopped caring about stuff like that a long time ago. Just dial up, okay? I'll make it real easy for you. I'll dip the toe into the waters for you. You jump on in. We talk about whatever you want. But first this. They're developing a teletongue aimed at providing remote oral interaction and designed to be kinky, according to co-creator Dolthalai Kawinger Sangamon. So, you know, the teletongue is not for making out, obviously. Okay, that's for diddling Skittles. Okay, so when you need your Skittle diddled, but your man is too far away, say, hey, put the device on. See, but that's the thing. There's nothing else. Oh, forget about it. It allows couples to send licking sounds and sensations through cyberspace using a lollipop, creating an immersive experience, she explained. Well, you know, here's the thing I don't understand. I think that we should probably put a little bit more into, I don't know, space. A little bit more. There's just too much. I feel like there's too much innovation going out. And innovation, whatever. That's just people's priorities. But maybe it's just the media then. Maybe there are great people. And I have to expect there are a great many people out there, young and old, who are developing new gadgets and gizmos and really awesome things that help us explore the world around us. We see it. You know, all these great apps pop up and cross our paths every once in a while. But I wish that the media coverage was a little bit more plentiful with those people. Because if I'm just going by the headlines that I see every day, I would really honestly only think that the only technological developments that are being made these days that are worth a damn is in how to get each other off and bring each other to orgasm. If you're just going to go by the headlines, if you guys know of any kind of really awesome developments in the science world, I know that Max from Colorado, our resident astronomer, he's always very big on the futurism news and what we're doing in space. So, Max, if you're watching right now, let us know. Let us know what's going on. All right, so we'll leave that on the back burner. We'll be taking calls on that. And I know lots of, let's see, got a good amount of people watching. Already have had hundreds watch. 484 viewing minutes so far, total. So we know what's going on. Just call on in. All right, so that's it with that. Robot babies. We don't have to do that. Too much of it now. WABC. I had this United States federal budget I want to get to because there was this annoying person on Twitter last night that I hope calls into at least the Monday night show because we weren't on YouTube tonight, probably didn't find us. But he said he wanted to call in to discuss, you know, socialism and why, you know, we don't want pure socialism. We don't have pure socialism. Talking about the pure socialism, the real socialism stuff. So I wanted him to call up because he started up with the Bernie Sanders one-liners about all the money that we spend on war when our defense budget is only 15%. But this is gonna be interesting. We'll have that on Monday. Obama signs new law giving protection to atheists. This crossed my path today, which didn't really make any sense to me. We're going to get around to that later on the show, if not tomorrow. We only got 10 minutes left. I mean, if not tomorrow. Monday, I mean. Oh, wait a second. There's this. We can't go without doing this. Here's a woman who fell in love with the robot that she created. She 3D printed herself. She's now engaged to it. You want to see the face of crazy. Here is the face of crazy. Hold on. There's the face of crazy, everybody. Look, if you woke up in the middle of the night and you saw that standing in your room, wouldn't you be scared? Wouldn't you think it was like something out of the fourth kind or something, and it's over? You can see there's something going on in those eyes. She created a robot and got engaged to it. Okay? I mean, there's something about this that's a little bit more... Dennis Rodman getting married to himself in the 90s. You guys remember that? Dennis Rodman pulled that publicity stunt. He got married to himself in the 90s. That is a little bit more funny. You know? But this... Oh, I don't know. I think that there's a screw loose here. Let's see. On the surface, Lily seems like a blushing young woman ready to marry the man of her dreams who makes her totally happy. Only her partner is a 3D printed robot named Immovator? 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 Capital I? That has to be the name. Who she designed herself after realizing she was attracted to humanoid robots rather than other people. Okay. She told thenews.com.au, I'm really and totally happy. Our relationship will get better and better as technology evolves. Right, because you'll be able to program the piece of machinery to be more and more suited to your needs. Just like people are totally happy with the news that they get on Facebook and the news that they get on Twitter or Tumblr. You subscribe to whatever it is, confirms your biases and tickles your fancy. You create your own little social media environment, your bubble, your incubator, and then that's it. Everything is hunky-dory. And then when you realize that there's a life outside of a real place where you can have real relationships and the work it actually takes outside of the ease of being with a robot that has no human tendencies and only human programming. You know, why do you think that people are so fragile these days? Think about this. Now, obviously, the entertainment industry and Hollywood is invaded with Marxists. 100%. A lot of people just left the broadcast. I hope you don't. If you think something else, call on in. We've got 7 more minutes until we're going to be on. But we got invaded in the Hollywood level, the entertainment level, the collegiate level, all of the college professors are far left Marxists for the most part. It's just the way it is, okay? And then you have the opposite extremes, okay? Now, which are, you know, the crazy nationalist people. Now, I'm a nationalist, a moderate. I love this country. I love its country's history. I consider myself a patriot. I love it. I love it. I love our country's history for all the good and the bad and the complete story it tells in the end. Okay, I'm not going to go and burn everything because one day somewhere else somebody lived there. We understand that. That's the story of the world. Okay, it's the story of our species. We don't have a pretty good track record, but sometimes we do. Some ideas work out better than others. So now, you take all of this, and you take all of this indoctrination you get, wherever the hell it is, then you put those people into a technological bubble where they're just surrounded by this electron cloud of news that feeds a bias. Okay, there are very principled people out there who identify as liberal and conservative or whatever it is. Principled people, though, who are principled in the ideas of classical liberalism and representative government and the need for rule of law. Okay? The worst thing you can do is selectively enforce law and reinterpret things and have law being living and breathing. The laws are dead. Okay? They're there. They say what they say, and they don't say what they don't say. And you take these people who are in these bubbles, and they have all this training and all this branding already, and then when you get exposed, anybody gets exposed to something that completely goes to war with what they carry around on their arms as if it were a religion. And their earth comes shattering down. Of course they think everything's hateful. Every critique is an act of hatred. Every time somebody speaks honestly or factually, if it goes against a certain group's narrative, it's a crime. So there's a reason for all of that. So you can see the cause and the effect of how people react to news and how people react to just thoughts and opinions. The same thing will happen with robots. You go and you start creating perfect people, perfect relationships that have nothing to do with actual interpersonal relationships. It just becomes another, I don't know, distortion of reality. How much harder does it get to deal with people in a functional way around you? When the most key parts of your life, the most stable parts of your life, the stable relationships take place with something that's completely inanimate. There's some weird shit there. Think about that, though. Look at the way people around you react to the news. Look at the news they go and actively seek out. Look at what they do when they see something that it's almost like a vampire with natural light bathed upon him. He's been bathed in natural light, starts shriveling up. That's how it is. You know, so think about that. If it's happening with information and it's already straining relationships in that way and it's completely screwing with people's ability to balance out what's real and what's just fluff and what is control, you know, what are power grabs, okay? Power grabs that use human compassion and human decency against itself to force other people into thinking certain things about the other time so that they give themselves, say, so that they give these fucking demagogues consent in an open and fair election. That's how power is consolidated. People turn human decency and human compassion in on itself and create mortal enemies out of other people who are just as decent if you go past all the bullshit. But it's very hard to unlearn what you have learned. 2 minutes left now. So watch out for that. Because people like this chick, she's a proud robosexual, she says. Says she's always loved the voices of robots as a child, but realized at 19 she was sexually attracted to them as well. Physical relationships with other men confirmed the matter. What do you mean, other men? What does this mean, other men? Think about that. Well, that's just the journalist that wrote the author that wrote this. Physical relationships with other men confirmed that she was sexually attracted to robots. What is other men? Wouldn't you say real men? Actual men? Human men? What other men? The robot's not a man. You see, we're already starting to give it legitimacy. We're already starting to give the robots legitimacy. My God. Well, speaking of robots, time to go watch Star Wars again. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us. It was a fantastic night. And all of our thoughts with the Fisher family, Carrie Fisher. Hope she makes a quick recovery. And everybody, please join us every night of the week on the Quite Frankly YouTube and soon to be twice a week on Facebook. You guys all kick ass. And I want to thank everybody, my bosses on Patreon real quick. Michael Wells, Nikki Solis, Andrew Dame, Laura Veris, Perry and Stacy Little, Mike May, Matt Smith, Sean Collins, Christian Peppas, Max Incaparato, Rob Corrado, LS Dan. I just got an amazing Christmas card from Dan Spratlin. He sent me, first of all, an amazing letter and a Mercury Head dime from 1941, obviously very significant years, the year that we got drawn into World War II, prior to FDR being put on the dime. And he sent me an ounce of silver for Christmas. I mean, I really, and I've also a picture of himself, too. Here he is. Strapping young fellow. I really love the interactions we have with everybody. And guys, the 1776 Club on Patreon is almost sold out. So if you want to become pen pals, I love this. I really enjoy the people that I'm meeting through the show. There's great people watching this show. Can't wait to keep growing it. Let's keep going. Rudy Escarcega, Jackie Milam, Eric Reitz, Whitney McShann, Pierre from Normandy, Tony Federici, Matt DeFabio, Brad Meyer, Stephanie Kay, Jenny Lee, Kate McCallum, Gadget Doc, Marianne Hart, Brent Antilles from the UK, Stephanie Evil, and our good friend John Cosentino. Cos, he just got engaged the other night, last night. Congratulations, Cos. He's going to be a groomsman in my wedding, and I'm sure we'll be lining up for that freak, too. All right, everybody. Have a groovy-ass night. Talk to you soon. And subscribe to all the channels. Can't wait to talk to you again.